I would like for you to turn with me in your Bibles to John 15. John 15 is where we are looking today. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 15, 1 through 8, Jesus weaves together a bunch of themes, and we're going to kind of pull them apart a little bit, but I want to give you the big picture before we get right into it. So John 15, 1 through 8. Just to set the scene, it's still the Last Supper. Jesus knows that he is soon going to die and rise and go back to his Father in heaven. And so he is teaching his followers how to be his followers, even when he is not physically with them. He's preparing them, he's preparing us for life after the cross. This is what he says, John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Or your Bible might say, abide in me, and I will abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a person remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Having spent a greater part of a week with this passage, there is one thought that crystallized in my heart. Jesus is saying to me, Jesus is saying to you, Jesus is saying to us, abide in me and abound in good fruit. Abide in Jesus, abound in fruit. Well, let me tell you why I say that one piece at a time. We'll start with the abide part, abide in me. It's pretty clear from this passage that Jesus wants us to abide in him, right? Verse 4, he says, remain in me. Verse 5, he says, remain in me. Verse 6, he says, here's what happens when you don't remain in me. Verse 7, here's what happens when you do remain in me. Clearly, Jesus wants us to remain in him, to abide in him. Okay, obvious question, what does that mean? How do you abide in someone? I think that there are probably a lot of different ways that you could answer that question. The most obvious, I suppose, is to look at the metaphor that Jesus gives us here to illustrate abiding and remaining, and that's the vine and the branches. Right, Jesus has this habit of using agricultural images to describe spiritual realities, and he does it here again. He says to his disciples, okay, listen, think of a vineyard. I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me the way the branches remain in the vine. You think about that for a minute. I'm sure you've seen vines and branches growing before. I've got one growing wild in my backyard. So first you've got the vine, right? It is rooted into the ground. It supports the branches. It gives life to the branches by means of the nutrients that it pulls up and out of the ground. The branches, for their part, they depend on the vine. They need the vine. They draw energy from the vine, and using the resources that the vine provides, they bear fruit for the vine. That, I think, is what Jesus is meaning when he says, abide in me, remain in me, stay connected to me the way that a branch stays connected and draws energy from the vine. Maintain such a real and vital connection in your relationship with me that you draw your strength and purpose and meaning from every day from me. How do we do that, practically speaking? A couple of things. First, I think we intentionally set aside time for Bible study and prayer and worship. Jesus says, verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, the implication there is that we would be spending time putting his words into us so that we would know him and be able to learn from him and then draw from that out in the world. So first, take time to remain in Jesus by taking in his word. But second, the more I thought about it this week, the more I realized that abiding in Jesus is much more than that. It's not just what you do when you open your Bible first thing in the morning or whenever you do that. You know, the connection between a vine and a branch is much more constant, is much more consistent than just once a day. So what I would say is this, cultivate an intentional, ongoing awareness of God with you all through the day. Train yourself to pause and consider, the Savior of all who holds all things together, he is with me and desires to connect with me in this moment. Like, did you ever think of that? The Savior of all, the Creator of all, desires to connect with you on a moment-to-moment basis. He's never too busy for you. In fact, he probably thinks, man, I wish they weren't so busy for me. This passage really challenged me to pause throughout the day, when I'm, you know, at my work, when I'm making supper, when I'm driving the kids around from place to place, to mentally pause and even unconsciously recognize that the God of all is here and I can be plugged into him in this moment. So Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. He invites us to stay connected to him the way that branches stay connected to the vine. Now why? Why do we stay connected? Admittedly, in my mind, this has always been the abide passage. And it is. Abide in me, remain in me. It is absolutely that. But it really hit me this week that there is a purpose to the abiding. The abiding doesn't stop at sitting or reflecting. The purpose of abiding is abounding. Jesus invites us to abide in him so that we will abound in fruit. Look at verse 4 again. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If someone remains in me and I in him, they will bear much fruit. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, abundant fruit, lots of fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. In this metaphor, Jesus just assumes and anticipates that the branches will bear fruit. Jesus anticipates that those who are truly his disciples will bear fruit, and that glorifies God, verse 8 says, and shows them to truly be his people. And that is why we abide in him, one, for the connection, but two, to abound in the fruit that he enables us to bear. And actually, Jesus is telling us here that it's only by abiding in him that we bear fruit. I told you earlier about the vine in my backyard. I brought a branch from it. What do you think? Is this going to bear fruit? No. Why not? It's not connected to the life, is it? It is just going to be picked up and tossed away, probably chewed on by one of my dogs, if I'm honest. Verse 5, no branch can bear fruit by itself. That's verse 4, verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. I'll tell you this. This is a moment of internal honesty when I open up the window to my heart and you can look in. Every human instinct that I have when I get up here to talk to you wants to impress you, wants to thrill you, wants to move you with my wisdom and insight and this profound sort of thing. Why are you making some of you smiling, laughing faces? But what does this mean? Apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. Unless Jesus is in your hearts receiving those words and applying them, what I do is like a piece of deadwood. I'm more self-confident than that. But this is true. For anything to be eternal, for anything to be lasting, for anything to have long-lasting consequences, God needs to be in it. Apart from me, we can do nothing, Jesus says. But with Jesus, we can do some very spectacular things. We can bear good fruit. Okay, what exactly is the fruit that we are talking about here? As disciples, clearly it's not pineapples and pomegranates or tomatoes and cucumbers, for that matter. I say that because my kids' minds were blown when they found out that tomatoes and cucumbers are not vegetables. They are, in fact, fruit. They were like, VeggieTales lied to me. When we abide in Jesus, what kind of fruit do we bear? Well, there's two ways to go with this, I think. One is who we are. It's character. Right? Paul tells us in Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit, the proof that the Holy Spirit is working in us, is that there is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control showing itself in our lives. So in connection with Jesus, we develop this character. We are Jesus followers, so it makes sense that our fruit... what do I want to say? Verse 8. Verse 8 says that our fruit will show that we are Jesus followers. Okay, so then we should look like him, right? Like if grapevines produce grapes and melon vines produce melons, then Jesus vines should produce what? Christians, right? Jesuses, people who look like him. And so that character comes in. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. On the other hand, I think Jesus is not just talking about who we are. He is talking about what we do, how we express those characteristics in real and everyday life. Sharing good news with others is fruit. Taking a meal to somebody in need is fruit. Standing up for somebody who can't stand up for themselves, that's fruit. And really, if you think about it, what we do is really who we are applied, right? Because if there is fruit in us, if we are motivated by love, it makes sense that we would want to share Jesus' love with others. If kindness and goodness is at work in us, it makes sense that we would share our blessings. If peace and patience and self-control are fruit in our lives, it makes sense that we would want to work for justice in the world. Jesus anticipates that when we abide in him, we will abound in fruit that looks like him, that is like him. That's the fruit that we bear. So abide in Jesus, abound in fruit. One final thought that comes from verse 2. Abiding in Jesus and abounding in fruit, it's not really an option for us. Look at verse 2 again. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. I mean, that's good gardening, right? I do that. You probably do that in your gardens. But applied to the church, that's a solemn warning that I think that we need to hear. Jesus anticipates that a healthy believer will bear fruit in season. And if there isn't fruit where you would expect there to be fruit, then you want to start asking why. I suspect that Jesus is talking about the kind of people here, the kind of people who, you know, come to the church, they hang around the church. They're really, though, more into the nostalgia of church and the social aspects of church They don't really listen to Jesus on a daily basis. They're not really connected to him on a daily basis. I think those are the kind of people that Jesus says, get cut off. If you're not going to abide in me, if you're not going to obey me, Jesus says, then... But, Jesus says, believers who do bear fruit, who receive the energy that the vine gives and express it into fruit, those people who do give their lives to Jesus and walk for him, he says, the Father prunes them. The Father trims them to make them more fruitful, more productive. And just to work out the implications of that, if you are abiding in Jesus and abounding in fruit, don't be surprised if you run into something painful. Because chances are good that the Father is using that. He may not be causing it, but he's definitely using it to refine you and strengthen you and prepare you for greater service down the way. And I'll tell you, just to close, that I think that that's what has happened to us as a church over COVID. 4 years ago at this time, we were also wrapping up a Gospel of John series. And I spoke on this. I think this might actually have been the very first video message that I ever did in COVID time. And I said to you, I wonder if this is God pruning us. If this is the Father saying, okay, you're fruitful, but you can be even more fruitful. So let me trim you back a little bit. I think God did. I think God pruned us back, made us more flexible and focused on the kingdom, growing to be ready to be the church that we need to be in 5 years and 10 years and 50 years. I think God has prepared us to share his grace with each other and with the world more intentionally. I think that God has set us up to bear some very good fruit for his kingdom, and I'm excited to see what that turns out to be. So, it's never fun. It's never fun to be pruned, but it is productive. So let me leave you with this. Abide in Jesus and abound in fruit. Let's pray. Jesus, you are our vine. You are the source of our life. We live because you lived. Through you, the Father created us. Through you, the Father redeemed us. Your Spirit now lives in us as we believe in you and trust in you and rely on you. We want to be faithful people. We want to be fruit-bearing branches. Jesus, we don't want to take what you have done for us for granted. Instead, we want to acknowledge that you are King of our lives and someone who is worth bearing fruit for, someone who deserves the best of who we are and the best of what we do. So I pray that you will help us in this. Jesus, abide in us as we abide in you. I pray that you would nudge our hearts later this afternoon, tomorrow, Thursday at 2 p.m., nudge our hearts and remind us that you desire to be connected to us in every moment. And I pray then again, you will nudge our hearts to recognize, this is a place for fruit. Or maybe in your own mind, you can listen to that list, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Maybe there's something there that you recognize, man, I'm good on love, but I could really use some patience. Holy Spirit, stir in us and bear that fruit in our lives as we partner with you. Lord, you deserve all of our praise. And so we set ourselves our fruit-bearing possibilities, our life and strength and purpose before you. And we ask for you to use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we respond.